This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on Israel and Hamas ceasefire deal. The participants are Ashok Sajjanhar, former ambassador, and Atul Aneja, strategic analyst. The moderator is Manas Pratim Bhuyan, journalist.
We have Mr. Atul Aneja and Ambassador Sajjanhar to discuss about the emerging situation in West Asia. Hamas and Israel have agreed on a historic ceasefire and hostage release deal that is expected to come into effect from Sunday. This deal is going to have huge impact on the overall peace and stability in West Asia. So to discuss these issues, we have the two great minds, Mr. Aneja and Ambassador Sajjanhar. Ambassador Sajjanhar, welcome to the program. As we all know, Israel and Hamas have agreed a Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal following 15 months of war. So how do you see the overall scenario, panning out from here on? Because Israeli Security Cabinet is shortly meeting in Tel Aviv, and following which I think the full cabinet of the Israeli government will meet to endorse the deal. So how do you see the unfolding situation in West Asia in the wake of both the sides agreeing to a historic ceasefire deal everybody was waiting, including India?
Yes, thank you very much, Manas, for having me on the show. You are very right. It's a historic deal. It's a landmark agreement because the war has been going on now for the last 15 months, as you said. There have been casualties to the tune of more than 45,000, that is people who have died, and of course many more that have been injured. Of course, in terms of damage and destruction to the infrastructure in Gaza, that has been enormous. In terms of reconstruction, it's going to take a very long time. So I think this deal has been welcomed by each and every one. It has come at this time because Mr. Trump is taking office on the 20th, and he had mentioned on the 2nd of December, if I remember correctly, that there is going to be hell to pay if the hostages are not released and they are not got back before he takes office. So I think the ceasefire agreement is going to come, at least the first phase of this, is going to come into operation on 19th, that is on Sunday. So just a day before Donald Trump takes over. But of course, the path ahead is strewn with nettles and uncertainties. Because even though we might be able to go through the first phase of the deal, which requires 33 of the hostages that have been taken by Hamas, that they should be released, and about 1,500 to 2,000 Palestinians prisoners who have been in captivity in Israel, that they will be released, and very significant quantities of relief material will pour into Gaza, even if this is followed through. I think phase two and phase three are going to be very difficult to negotiate because there is so much of distrust between the two sides. You know, the last point that I'd like to make, that although this deal was announced on the 15th, by the Qatari Prime Minister and Foreign Minister, even after that, Israel has been pounding Gaza, and it is reported that about 86 people have been killed. Several children have also died in this bombing. So there was genuine interest in taking the ceasefire and ending the fighting once for all. This bombing would not have happened. So there is huge distrust, and as you said, even the voting on the deal has been postponed by Mr. Netanyahu in the Israeli cabinet because there are some ministers who are very strongly, staunchly opposed to this deal. So I think the way forward will have to be the international community will have to engage itself very closely with what is happening to ensure that other hostages are also released in the second phase, and that the war comes to, it's not only a ceasefire, but it sees an end to the war.
Ambassador Sajjanhar, do you see the possibility of the ceasefire deal not being implemented? Because as you said, in fact, the Israeli bombings put a question mark over the effectiveness of the ceasefire in the coming weeks. Do you see kind of a question mark in the approach by both sides before the implementation of the deal, before the deal comes into effect on Sunday?
I think, Manas, the deal will definitely come through on Sunday. That is what the Israeli Prime Minister has also said. Also, what we have read and heard about how this deal was reached, because, you know, it had basically all the elements of this three-phase deal had been arrived at on the 31st of May last year, 2024. But, you know, it has taken all these 8 months to come. And because there has been the threat of Mr. Trump taking over on the 20th, and because of what he had mentioned in early December, that both sides should come together. And I'm told that there was considerable pressure that was applied on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And the fact that deal could not be accepted over the last 8 months was because of the intransigence of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And now that he has red lines were drawn by Mr. Trump and by Steve Witkoff, the Middle East negotiator, peace negotiator for that has been appointed by Mr. Trump, and he has been in Doha, he's been negotiating, and he also went to Tel Aviv and had a meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. So I think the first segment of the deal will go through, because there has to be something, some results have to be evident, have to be visible before Mr. Trump takes over. And as I said, the second phase of the deal and the third phase, I think those are still under question mark, and we'll really have to see how much Mr. Trump applies himself once he takes over as president, and the sort of pressures that he is able to bring both on Hamas as well as on Prime Minister Netanyahu in terms of taking this, you know, getting through to the second phase of the deal and then complete cessation of hostilities and complete end to the war and, you know, something more concrete in terms of what the Palestinians have been demanding.
We have Mr. Atul Aneja, strategic affairs expert, who has been closely tracking developments in West Asia for quite some time. Mr. Aneja, how do you see the firming up of the deal being billed as a historic one to bring peace in Middle East? Neither side has announced about the deal, neither the Israeli side nor the Hamas. But it was announced by the Qatari leadership, and U.S. President Joe Biden also issued a statement a day before. So how do you see the deal being implemented? It is supposed to come into effect on Sunday. The deal has come after months of negotiations and hardball negotiations. So what will be the impact, and how do you see the unfolding situation in West Asia?
Manas, we got to be very clear that this is a ceasefire deal, right? It is not a solution to the problem, which has existed for decades, if not longer. Now, what happens with the ceasefire deal? We will see how it pans out. I think it is going to hold out for some time because there is nobody there to violate the ceasefire deal, really. The Hamas has been truly weakened by the operations which the Israelis had carried out. Their leadership has been decimated. People like Sinwar or Ismail Haniyeh are no longer in the scene. You have people like Khalid Mashal and others who really were not at the front lines, in the sense that they were staying mostly in Qatar and not really even in Gaza. So you have a decimated Hamas. Even if they are unhappy with the deal, there is no capacity to violate the deal. Now, what happens afterwards? Now, what I'm looking at it really is the prisoners which are going to be released. Some of them are very hard-boiled, have blood on their hands, facing life terms. Now, if you're going to release about 2,000 of them, some of them are going to bite you back at some point in time. So you have delayed the problem, in the sense you've kicked the can down the road. It will take some time for the Hamas to regroup, but I think at some point it would. Why I'm saying it would take some time to regroup is because, you see, you can't see the Hamas in isolation. It had a full backing of what was called the resistance front, which included the Hezbollah, which included the Syrian government of Bashar al-Assad, and most importantly, it was Iran and the Houthis who were supporting it. Now, that has virtually been smashed. The backup support which Hamas was getting has been smashed. In the sense, you have the top leadership of Hezbollah eliminated, the top, including Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hamas, legendary kind of leader, iconic. Why I say so is because I've covered the 2006 war and I could see what aura he had over the, not just the Shia groups, but in Lebanon itself. So you eliminated a basic symbol of resistance. you see what's happened with Bashar al-Assad. The factories inside Syria which were producing the missiles, etc., which were used by Hamas and to a certain extent by Hezbollah, I mean, they are no longer going to be operational with the regime change which has taken place inside Syria. Now comes Iran, which is under pressure at this time. And you're having military exercises by Iran to, in anticipation of a possible airstrikes by Israel on some of their nuclear facilities like Fardo. So they are on the defensive at this time. So you're not going to have that backup which the Hamas has. So I think it is going to last for some time, the ceasefire. But finally, you know, there's no sign of any political settlement. You know, nobody at this time is Manas going to talk about the two-state solution, the land for peace formula. That's not on the horizon at all. So we are going to have a situation which I think for the moment, for the next 5-6 years at least, is pro in favor of Israel in terms of dominating the region, if you like. And I think with Trump coming in, we are going to see revival of certain things like the Abraham Accords and possible expansion of that. Because you're going to have, if you have Saudi Arabia coming into the picture, that will be a game changer. I think some focus will also go on the possibility of reviving the IMEC corridor. So those are things which are likely to be there. But, you know, the threat, it will be under an overhanging threat of violence in this region. When it comes to the question, not soon, but I don't see a political solution. And sometimes in the future, it's going to come back and destabilize.
You basically talked about the ripple effect of the deal. Definitely, it is going to have some impact because of the overall situation in Gaza has impacted various parts of West Asia in the last few months. India has been considering West Asia as its extended neighborhood. We are also very, very worried about the situation there. We have been calling for dialogue and resolution of the conflict in a peaceful manner. So what, according to you, would be the key takeaways if the deal is implemented properly? What will be the ripple effect of the ceasefire in Gaza between Hamas and Israel on the West Asia as a whole? What will be the kind of impact on Iran, for say, or Libya? How do you see the overall scenario if it is implemented?
I think, Manas, that escalation which we were seeing at one time, that is no longer there now. We are on the de-escalatory path, let's say. We've not resolved the problems, but it is definitely a stage of de-escalation. Now, what's going to happen? If you see the region, and from an Indian perspective, well, first thing is going to be energy and energy security. I do think that the ceasefire deal is going to generate a sentiment which will help decrease the price of oil, which is important for energy security. So to that extent, yes. And if more so, if there is no Israeli attack on facilities in Iran, because actually, if you look from an Israeli perspective, they have neutralized most of the moving pieces which are opposed to them, except Iran. So if you have no attack on Iran, that is again going to be good for India, because that would mean, again, downward pressure on energy prices. We are going to have a peaceful, more stable Gulf, which is very important to India because we send so many guest workers, in fact, millions of them into that geography, which bring us, generate employment and remittances, which is good from a geoeconomic perspective. And then the third thing is the corridor, which I spoke about, the India-Middle East economic corridor going towards Europe. That comes into the horizon. So I think overall reduction of violence and a ceasefire for some time to come is a positive development from an Indian perspective. Because interests are so deep there, we need to get more deeply engaged with the region and try and ensure that there is a peaceful solution. We are not direct parties, but as a contribution, I think we can surely make, given our bilateral relations with many of these countries, to help ease the tensions over there, because that is something which is in India's own national interests.
Ambassador Sajjanhar, I would like to ask you about India's very cautious reaction about the deal. India has definitely welcomed the deal between Hamas and Israel and hope that it will facilitate transportation of humanitarian assistance to people in Gaza. How do you see India's reaction, as well as I would also like to ask you about the possible ripple effect of the deal on Greater West Asia?
Yeah, you're very right. India has welcomed it. You know, I could say that the whole world has welcomed it. If you look at, countries around, not only in that region, but beyond that also, each and every one has welcomed this. And I think conflict, war anywhere is very damaging to human life and infrastructure, as I had mentioned. So I think it is very important that this ceasefire has been achieved at, you know, not a day too soon. And of course, if it had been done about 8 months earlier, it would have been better. India has always been saying that, you know, no issues are resolved on the battlefields. And we really need to take up issues through dialogue and diplomacy to come to some sort of understanding or agreement. As far as ripple effects are concerned, I agree with what Mr. Aneja has said about the IMEC. I think that is going to have a positive impact on the IMEC. We know that notwithstanding the fact that there has been this conflict that has been going on, war that has been going on in this region between Israel and Hamas, Israel and Hezbollah and other elements in Syria and in the region, you know, discussions on IMEC have been going on. Progress has been slow, but no one has really taken their eyes off the ball. You know, whenever the external affairs minister goes to the region or any, you know, senior leader comes from that region to India, this is definitely an issue that is taken up. So I think this will give greater confidence now and greater energy into the IMEC. The other part on as far as oil prices are concerned, you know, I'm not too sure about that because frankly, the Israel-Hamas conflict, Israel-Hezbollah conflict had not resulted in any significant increase in the price of oil. And, you know, any increase in the price of oil that was taking place was because Europe had stopped importing oil from Russia due to the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And Europe had started importing oil in much larger quantities from the Middle East. So I don't think as far as the pricing is concerned, but definitely there is going to be greater stability. And that is very good for India, not only in terms of the 9 million odd Indian workers, professionals that we have in the region, but also because, you know, of the trading, to and fro trading, meaning we have the third largest trading partner is United Arab Emirates. The fourth largest trading partner in the world for India is Saudi Arabia. So I think stability there is going to definitely be helpful. The other one other aspect also could be that, you know, again, on India and as far as the world is concerned, that the Houthis also might be persuaded to stop launching their offensive on the Red Sea and, you know, whatever has been the impact that it has had on global shipping, on global trade and movement of cargo of ships through the Red Sea and through the Suez Canal. They were being forced to go around Africa, around the Cape of Good Hope. And that, whether it is climate change or it is increase in costing of the products that are being shipped to Europe or being shipped from Europe to Asia. So I think there also the Houthis have said that they'll keep a close watch on the situation and they will resume bombing of shipping if the deal is violated, if the deal is not carried through. So I think there are very many positive takeaways from this deal. And, you know, one would only hope that not only the first phase of the deal, but in terms of ensuring that fighting does not break out again, hostages are repatriated. I think that should be, the international community should also give a focus on that so that it is taken to its logical conclusion.
Ambassador Sajjanhar, I would also like to ask you about the possibility of a different approach towards the conflict in West Asia by the Trump administration. I mean, do you see a change of policy from the Washington establishment in dealing with the situation, overall situation in West Asia?
It would be too early to say because, you know, Trump has made these vanilla statements that, you know, he's going to stop the war in Ukraine on the first day that he comes. He's going to stop the war in the Middle East. But he has been very short on details. And as far as the world is concerned and whether it is, you know, the U.S., current U.S. administration or President Joe Biden, even as far as India is concerned, we have been saying that it should be, you know, the two-state solution. But that is something that is not acceptable to Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has completely rejected it. So I think we'll really have to wait and see because as to what are the new elements, what are the new ideas that are brought to the table. At the moment, there don't seem to be very many on the table, even as far as the Trump team is concerned. They have also not really come up with any significant, substantive or concrete ideas. So we'll really have to wait and see as to how, what they would be willing to do. One could, of course, speculate, but I don't think that speculation at this stage would be of any great help.
Mr. Aneja, the second phase of deal that has emerged from the media in the Middle East says that a full Israeli troops withdrawal will have to be ensured as part of the second phase of the implementation ceasefire deal. And the third and final stage will involve the reconstruction of Gaza, something which could take years, and a return of any remaining hostages' bodies. So how do you see the second and third phase? I mean, do you think it will be very difficult to implement? And I think according to reports, the Hamas has around 94 hostages, out of which around 35 are presumably dead. So will it impact the implementation? How do you see it?
Minus a couple of things. If you look at the Israeli withdrawal, now there are two very important areas here. One is called the Philadelphia Corridor, right? This is a 14-kilometer stretch, separates Egypt's Sinai Desert from Gaza, right? The Israelis, during the course of the war, I mean, the statements coming from there was that this is of strategic importance to us. It was under an earlier 79 deal under the control of Egypt, but then Israel sentiment in Israel was we should control Philadelphia Corridor. The reason being that most of these tunnels, which are used for smuggling goods and weapons to Hamas, were beneath the Philadelphia Corridor. So the pressure is going to come on the Israeli government here. If you're going to withdraw from the Philadelphia Corridor, which means you are going back on one of the strategic goals of the war. So that's going to be a tough sell inside Israel. Now that we got to see a lot of fun and games coming inside there, whether you stress yourself so much that backtracking right-wing composition, right and ultra-right composition of the Israeli government is going to be difficult for them to do that. The second is the other one, Netzarim Corridor. Now that's a very interesting area because that separates northern Gaza from the rest of the country. So if you are to withdraw from there, then you are not cutting the lines of Hamas. This is very, very, again, of strategic importance from an Israeli security perspective. So I think if the second and third phase is going to involve complete withdrawal from there, it's going to be a very hard sell for Netanyahu. So I have my fingers crossed on this, whether it's going to be so easy for them to come back off it. The second thing which you talked about, hostages, that is a second pressure which is coming on Netanyahu government that, you know, after all, one of your core objectives of launching this war was to get the hostages back. If you are going to fail in that, the pressure is going to come from the Israeli public and from the families. Now, you have seen visuals of them. They are assembling every day in Tel Aviv, in the main square. It's an emotive issue which is going to create a public sort of an upsurge against Netanyahu. He's in a hard and rock place right now. Given the mentality of the present government in Israel, I think they are into their Mossad-like operations. You know, their problem is going to also be these 2,000 prisoners which are released. In the past, what I've seen in the dealing with Hezbollah is they try and take out some of the main people out of these. You know, and that would be a selling point of Netanyahu internally within his cabinet. Okay, we are releasing so many people, but over time, we'll take care of them. So I think these are the kind of imponderables which are coming in. And it's really not a done deal in all dimensions right now. There are plenty of hiccups of things going wrong in the entire phase two and phase three of the deal.
Interestingly, at a media briefing, President Biden yesterday also talked about the assistance of President-elect Donald Trump, who put pressure on both parties by demanding hostages to be released before his inauguration on January 28th.
Yeah.
So how do you see this acknowledgement, public acknowledgement by the U.S. president about incoming president's role? So do you think, in fact, I mean, the Trump factor played a very, very important role in quick finalization of the ceasefire deal before Trump takes over?
No, I think so. And I agree with Ambassador Sajjanhar on that. The Trump factor was a very important factor, not okay on Netanyahu, but also on the Hamas. Because, you know, I would risk saying that compared to Biden, Trump has been much more pro-Israel. And if you look at his base inside America, it doesn't have too much of this pro-Palestinian base supporting him. Though people in Michigan and all, they did vote for Trump. So Trump is not under domestic pressure to take a completely pro-Israeli position. And the Hamas knew it. So I think that factor, that Trump may mean business when he says that, you know, hell may break loose and he's going to wholeheartedly side with the Israelis, would have come into it and added pressure to the deal. What he did to Netanyahu, you see, that's another interesting one, because there's a private statement of Trump saying that there's a dark side to Netanyahu. So, you know, he's also put pressure on the other side. So I think that is Trump cutting the art of the deal. You pressurize both sides and get something in between. I think he succeeded in that.
Let's come back to the India angle. In fact, millions of Indians actually live in West Asia, and we have stakes in peace and stability in West Asia. I mean, since the October 7 attack by Hamas on Israel, October 7, 2023, India has very strongly condemned terrorism and Hamas's attack. And at the same time, India has been pushing for dialogue and diplomacy to find a resolution, and particularly to just a strike a ceasefire deal. That way, we welcomed already announcement on the ceasefire deal. So as India has close relations with UAE, Saudi Arabia, Oman, Bahrain, to an extent with Iran also, Kuwait, Prime Minister recently visited Kuwait. So how do you see India's stakes in the region, and how a stabilization of the situation will protect our interests?
Manas, very high stakes in the region. It's our extended neighborhood. And, you know, we already talked about dimensions like energy and our people, guest workers, both in the blue collar and white collar category. The strong historic ties which you've had with them, the trade element comes into the picture, and IMEC will feed into that. So we have very, very strong interests in the region. And that explains the Prime Minister's visit to Kuwait, and our, you know, strategic partnership with the UAE is extremely important. Now, I think it's interesting here that, you know, the entire Gulf is not on the same page. You have countries like Saudis, the UAE and Bahrain on one side. And then you have Qatar on the other side, by the way. And Qatar and Turkey form another axis with a lot of Muslim Brotherhood influence. So we have to watch all the fault lines within that region, because it is of such prime importance to us, and make sure A, that that region remains stable, and B, that radicalism from that region doesn't enter our geographies. You know, our neighborhood here, we don't want influences from Turkey or from Qatar coming into, let's say, into Bangladesh and then having a problem to us. So the stakes are very, very vital, Manas, because in this connected world, one geography can influence another. So I think it's, and that leads me to another point, which is that we need to actively, diplomatically intervene in diffusing crisis in this region. As India aspires to be a global power, you want to be in the UN Security Council, G20, you're already there, that there is a need for very, very proactive diplomacy from Indian side, in not only in firefighting, but preventing fires to break out.
Thank you, Mr. Aneja. Thank you, Ambassador Sajjanhar, for a detailed perspective on the ceasefire and hostage deal between Hamas and Israel. You both have given a detailed account of what could be the possible scenario and ripple effect of the deal that will have various elements. Definitely, India is also going to be benefited from a stable and secure West Asia. Thank you so very much for the detailed perspective on the situation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on Israel and Hamas ceasefire deal. The participants were Ashok Sajjanhar, former ambassador, and Atul Aneja, strategic analyst. The moderator was Manas Pratim Bhuyan, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.